So we're going to start off the message today with a little bit of a prying question for you. And so you don't have to answer this, but answer it in your heart. That question is, have you ever met someone that later you wish you'd never met? There's nervous laughter, no elbows, no leaning over and looking, okay? Have you ever met someone that later you wish you never met? And if that's like too deep, too personal, you're like, I don't want to go there right now. Have your kids or friend or someone in your family ever met someone that you wish they had never met? Yes, all of us have a story. And the answer, I think, I make the assumption here, but I think for most of us is yes. And it's such a strange thing, right? Because our greatest regrets in life and our hardest situations usually involve other people. The people closest to us, our friends, our family. And I think that's something to think about. But just changing topic, everybody knows what a guardrail is on the highway, right? Everybody knows what a guardrail is. Anybody have a definition for what a guardrail is? You see these all over the roads, the highways, everywhere. Well, a guardrail is this. It's a protective boundary designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. It's a protective boundary designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. And guardrails actually, they function to do at least two things. They direct us and they protect us. They direct us and they protect us. And something that's also important to notice about guardrails is that guardrails are never built or placed in the danger zone. Like they're not like in the cliff, like after, like they're placed like 3 feet before you would fall into the cliff. They're placed never in the danger zone. They're actually placed before you get there. They're placed in the safety zone. That extra 3 feet that makes the difference from going off the edge or hitting something. The extra 3 feet back in the safety zone. But another thing about a guardrail is that it's designed to minimize damage to your vehicle, right? It's designed to minimize damage to your vehicle. That if you hit a guardrail, you'll wind up going to a repair shop, but you probably won't have to go to the hospital. You'll have to go to the repair shop to repair your car and what might be broken or disrupted there. But you probably won't have to go to the hospital because you didn't go over the cliff or you didn't hit that extra part of traffic. You didn't go into the thing that you were being protected from. So the reason that I named this sermon specifically today, guardrails, is because the highway is not the only place that we need them. The highway is not the only place we need them. Perhaps your greatest regrets would have been avoided if you had established personal guardrails. Personal guardrails. We're continuing the sermon series, Tough Love. And as Danita mentioned, I'm preaching this to me as well, by the way. I think we're all absorbing this. It's for all of us. It's a challenge for us. Talking about how loving people is tough. Relationships with people, whether they're in your family or at work or friends, it's tough. And we're talking in this series about how we learn to deal with people, how we learn to navigate, how we learn to love people that are different than us. And we started off talking about the first week about how the really basis, though, for the conversation is we have to recognize that all people are created in the image of God. All people. Regardless of where they live, what their color of their skin is, where they're from, what they've done, all of us are created in the image of God. And that's kind of the starting point for where we're talking about. And then the second week, we talked about the importance of speaking the truth in love, about every relationship. We need to be able to speak truth, as Jesus did, but also to do so in a way that builds up in love. And then last week, we tackled the topic of forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness in our relationships, of everyday forgiveness, and how we practice that. But today, we're going to look at the importance of guardrails in our relationships. Basically, boundaries in our relationships that keep us healthy, that help just as a guardrail does, to protect and direct, minimize damage and harm, and things that we put in the safety zone that we pre-decide beforehand, before we even reach that side of the road. And we say that often boundaries are important. I mean, sometimes we have conversations, you know, I need to have more boundaries, right? I need to have boundaries. But in the culture, we're often critical because people hate rules. People hate to have rules. They say, well, you're just being like legalistic, right? That, you know, we hate rules. And then what's interesting is then the culture will shame, blame, and mock people when we end up in a ditch because we failed to establish those boundaries or put those guardrails up. But specifically today, I want to talk about like your friends and associates and your family, the people who are closest to you on an ongoing basis. And the reason that we need guardrails relationally, the reason we need guardrails even with the people that we consider friends, is because of what we've already said. You know, I'd venture to say that the primary problem that we have between you and another person, especially when you get into conflict or disorder, the primary problem is usually a boundary problem. It's usually a boundary problem, the inability to communicate a boundary or the inability to hold a boundary. And that's an important thing. You know, for example, it's just like maybe you have a coworker, somebody at work that you work with who takes all your credit. You do something, and then the boss goes, oh, you did such a great job. And you're like, well, that was me, right? That's a boundary problem. Or maybe another boss or somebody at work who emails you at every hour of the day and the night. That's a boundary problem. Maybe you do that. I don't know. Or that maybe you have a friendship, a relationship you've had for a long time, and you do all the work. You're the one that's always calling, saying, when do you want to get together? When do you want to do that? That's a lack of boundaries. Or maybe you have a son or a daughter who makes you absolutely exhausted. Can I get an amen? They just exhaust you, right? Or maybe you have a friend who just gets under your skin every single time. You're just like, ah, I can't believe she said that again. She posted that. Oh my goodness, all this stuff. Or maybe it's family. Maybe your parents look a lot like the parents on Everybody Loves Raymond. Remember that show? Parents just show up. They live right next door. They show up uninvited. They just come in the house. They will stop by whenever they want. Or maybe your kids. Maybe your kids are the ones who are having anybody and everybody over at all times of the day and night. All those things come down to boundaries. All of them. And that's the important thing, is that when we have boundaries, when we have like these guardrails, they allow us, get this, to even be in relationship with difficult people with difficult values. Relationships can exist when we have boundaries, even with difficult people who maybe have different values or thought processes or stances on issues than us, yet we're often resistant to having them. It's interesting. But when we don't, we end up in relational ditches. Author Brené Brown, one of my favorite authors. She's written plenty of books, had lots of TED Talks and whatnot. She says this. She says, boundaries are the courage to love ourselves even when we risk disappointing others. Boundaries are the courage to love ourselves even when we risk disappointing others. Boundaries are hard, though. Would you agree? Boundaries are hard. And I think for Christians, for those of us following Christ, they're even harder because we have this idea that we're supposed to love everybody all the time, all people unconditionally, just like Jesus loves us that way, right? I mean, Jesus died for us. We should be willing to just love unconditionally, to give ourselves away. And yet, I think that very idea of what it means to love is actually a distortion of what Jesus teaches. Yes, he loves us. God loves us. And God loves us unconditionally, no matter what. No matter how many times you mess up, God never fails. God never is always turned towards you. But no matter what, that God also gives us guardrails. He gives us guardrails. He gives us boundaries. Unconditional love doesn't mean not having boundaries. I mean, for example, you look at the Old Testament scriptures. There's plenty of boundaries and guardrails that God has with humanity. You look at the commandments. You look at the things that the people of Israel had to walk through and the kind of the situations that they had to go through. In the New Testament, too, we see that Jesus himself puts boundaries on how disciples, how his followers should live and should be. See, friends, love and boundaries go together. They work together to keep us healthy. And when we see Jesus, we see that Jesus loves others sacrificially, but also has boundaries for himself and for others. It's interesting. It's what allows him to be in relationship with even very difficult people, with people who were not aligned with him, with people that tried to challenge him. It allowed him to eat around tables with people who were very different than him. So what I want to do today is to explore some of the practical boundaries that we see in Jesus's life, that what the boundaries we see in his life and what they can look for us in our lives. I want to explore four of them, four different guardrails, four different boundaries that kept Jesus healthy and how we can model that, how we can imitate that for us. And then the first guardrail I want to look at is saying no. Saying no. Maybe the clearest and the simplest. Jesus, in his teaching to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, probably his most famous sermon there was in Matthew chapter 5, he says this. This is one of my favorite scriptures, by the way. He says, "Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." Okay, so translation, we're called to clarity. That when we say yes, we commit, or we say no, and we don't. There's nothing that's in between. We keep our word either way. But no is included there. You know, and so I want you to think for a second. Which one is harder for you to say to someone? Say there's a request made to you, and you know you don't have time, you can't, they just asked again. Like, is it harder for you to say yes or harder for you to say no? It's probably no. I don't know. For me, it's no. You know, but saying no can be the healthiest and the best boundary. I mean, Jesus often said no to even very good things. He said no, by the way, to his mom and to his brothers when they came to him. Really? Yeah, he did. He said no to people who requested him to do things or to create things for them. He said no to his opponents who tried to trap him or tried to get him in difficult situations and conversations. He just said no. He said no to the devil in the wilderness when he was tempted. He even said no, get this, to the people who needed him. He said no to people who needed him in order to make time for himself. And I think a lot of us need to get better at this. You know, so think, what no's do you need to decide ahead of time? Remember, the guardrail is always put in the safety zone, not the danger zone. So deciding ahead of time, what are the no's that I need to decide? I mean, for example, someone calls, they call you, they text you, and repeatedly they want help. You know, so this is not a one-time deal. This is not even a two-time deal. Over and over and over again, you know, what are you going to say? Are you going to plan ahead for what you're going to, you know, if someone wants to borrow money, once again and again and again, they have yet to repay in any way. You know, someone that wants an immediate answer, respond to me right now. Like, what are you going to do about that? You know, to decide ahead of time, for those of us that are in recovery, right? Decide ahead of time when someone is going to invite you to the party or the bar that you know you shouldn't go to, you know you shouldn't be at. You know, that or someone that you really feel weird around, you know, and they're constantly like asking you out or calling you to go things. Like what are you going to decide ahead of time? Many of us feel bad about saying no, but Jesus teaches us that one of the clearest and direct boundaries is to do exactly that. That we don't have to say yes to every request. That's what keeps us healthy. That's a guardrail. The first guardrail is saying no. But the second I want to go on to is to recognize and communicate our limits. To recognize and communicate our limits. For those of you guys taking notes, by the way, in your worship guide, there's notes you can follow along here. But I think of recognizing and communicating limits a lot of in terms of like emotional energy, you know, being emotionally drained. We only have a finite amount. I was recently talking to somebody that works at a ski resort, a fellow friend of mine in ministry, and I was talking to him recently and asking how the ski season was. You know, did you know that like up north in like New England, their last day of ski season, they call it like mud skiing? They ski in like little patches of snow and then they like hit mud and they like keep going. There's like a whole celebration involved with it. But anyway, he's talking about the ski season. And part of our like discussion, I asked him, like, okay, what about injuries like on the slopes? Like, I'm curious. I've been a while since I've been skiing, but when do the most injuries happen on the slopes? I would assume they would happen during the peak of the day, on like a Saturday when there's so many people, it's so crowded. And it was interesting. He said, no, that's not actually true. He said, most injuries happen at the end of the day. And that's because people are tired. People are tired. People run into trees or each other or flip and tear an ACL when they're tired. You know, and I was thinking about that in our relationships. Isn't it true? When we get tired, we're more prone to getting hurt. We're more prone that conversation that otherwise would be like, ah, that was okay. Like, hey, we're more susceptible to that when we're tired. We're more prone to hurting others when we're tired. You know, when we have the inability to recognize our limits. And when we don't have limits, it becomes dangerous. It becomes dangerous to our relationships. I mean, even Jesus, he recognized his limits as the Son of God. I mean, he's 100% human and he's 100% God, and he recognized his limits, the times that he needed to refill and refuel. In Luke chapter 5, it says this, "But now more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds were gathered to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. Meanwhile, he would slip away to deserted places and pray." Think about that. Think about that. All good things. Like, these are meeting people's needs, but Jesus knew his personal human limit. And the same thing is good for us, that we have to communicate our limits. You know, maybe it's the holidays, right? That maybe you as a family, you're torn between where you need to be or go, and there's always that to go to that reunion, that picnic, all that kind of stuff. Like, to communicate and to recognize, hey, this is what we're able to do and this is what we're unable to do. Or when you're volunteering or certain tasks at our job, to recognize this is my capacity. I feel like, you know, the check engine light's on. I'm on the edge of burnout here. Should I be taking on 5-10 more things? Probably not. Recognizing my limits. To let people know, too, these are the hours for work that my phone is on silent. Then I'm not going to take the call or check the email. You know, and to not hide the times that I'm just exhausted. I need some time away. I need some time back. See, the truth is that sometimes people even seem difficult or we even dislike them because it's our fault we haven't communicated our limits on what we're able to do. And maybe that's you, is recognizing, you know, for you, what are the limits that you need to place on what you're doing in your relationships with others and communicating them. That's another key part. So that's guardrail number two, is recognizing, communicating our limits. So guardrail number three, directly naming our expectations and needs. This kind of goes along with number two, directly naming our expectations and needs. See, one of the great things about Jesus was how direct he could be with other people about his needs and about his expectations and about what he wanted. I mean, there were times that he asked his disciples, especially towards the end of his earthly ministry, that he asked his disciples to help him. He asked them for his help. And so he told them at times when he was in the garden, he told them to stay awake, to pray for me. He told them when he was calling them and sending them out to do ministry, he said, go and cast out demons. He called out bad behavior. I mean, he even told Peter to put away his sword when Peter was trying to fight. There's a story in Mark chapter 10, that's one of my favorites, where Jesus sees this man on the side of the road who is blind, and Jesus notices him and walks up to him. Mark chapter 10, verse 51, Jesus goes to him. It's obvious the dude is blind, by the way, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Like, Jesus, huh, really? You're asked. But it's interesting. He asks. He doesn't assume. He's not going to assume this guy wants to see. He asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? Being clear. It doesn't seem like a boundary. It doesn't seem like a guardrail, but it is. It's giving people what we need in order to be in a healthy relationship with them, to communicate. And it's hard for us. I mean, I think especially like people close to me, like, you know, family. When we find ourselves having expectations of people, and usually for me, at least, I have expectations in my head and I never really tell them to anybody. I have a picture in my mind of what should be done. And then I get angry when they don't meet those expectations, those things I've formulated in my head, even though I haven't said a word about what I need or what I want. And I think a lot of us do that. You know, we expect, but we never express. And then we blame the person, that it's their fault, why they didn't do what we're supposed to do. And that's an interesting fact, you know, is to directly name our expectations and our needs. Well, I want to tell you just a little fable. It's a story that was made up. This is not a true story. Please do not take it concretely either. But it's a fable that was told by the rabbi Edwin Friedman, who's a rabbi in Washington, D.C. He's written quite a few books, by the way, as well. But Edwin Friedman, by the way, talks a lot about these kinds of things, about emotional boundaries with people. And he's tell this story. It's a fable. He talks about this man that's on a journey, that finally this guy is like hitting the road. He's going where he needs to go. He knows where he's called to be. And he's on this road, and then part of the road, it comes to this bridge. And on the bridge, he sees this person coming towards him, walking across the bridge. And so the man stops, and this person walks closer and closer and closer to him. And he comes close enough to the person who's moving towards him. And he notices that this person moving towards him across the bridge has a rope around his waist. And the man stops and he's looking at the guy and like, I don't know what this is about. And the person walks up to him and he has the rope and there's an end to the rope. And he walks up to the man who was going on his journey. And the person asks him, can you grab the end of the rope here? And so the man, being very confused at this point about what actually is going on, he takes the end of the rope. And suddenly, the person goes to the edge of the bridge and jumps off the edge of the bridge and says, hold on tight! So the person goes on the other side. The man braces and holds tight to the end of the rope and yells what we all would, besides probably some other things. What are you doing? What are you doing? And the person dangling says, hold on tight. Don't drop me. My life is in your hands. And the man begs and pleads with the person over the side of the bridge, but the person just dangles there. He's stuck and says, my life now depends fully on you. Crazy little fable, isn't it? Okay, so what are we supposed to do with that, right? Crazy little fable, but I think of this when I think of boundaries. First being, we have to be very careful of all the ropes that people hand us in life. We be very careful. In fact, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves taking responsibility for other people's problems without even knowing it. And that's where, friends, the clarity and directness of expectations and needs comes in. That we need to offer what we can, to ask for what we need, and don't just hand it to people or assume people or take it from people. It means telling, like, what do we expect from this other person in this relationship? What do we expect their behavior to be in this house? What do I expect this relationship to look like in order to be healthy? And this is what you can expect from me. Little things, right? Like, no smoking in my house. Or, hey, when you eat something, we wash the dishes. Or, hey, when you said this cuss word, like, I really don't like that. Can you not say that around me? You know, so often we want to be nice. We don't want to rock the boat. But then we're just so ambiguous about exactly what we want, and we wind up doing harm to the relationship. So that's the third guardrail, directly naming our expectations and needs, the very things that Jesus did. But number four is setting and honoring our priorities. Setting and honoring our priorities to ask what is most important right now. What is most important? What is most important in my family, in my marriage, in my life, in my friendship, in my work? What is most important? And if you can't answer that, take some time to do so, to name those things, so that way you're not distracted by competing agendas and the things that are putting ropes into your hands. You know, Jesus was very clear on that. He wasn't distracted. He was focused on his mission. He said it like this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first what? The kingdom of God. put that first. First and foremost, that Jesus, he was about God and God's kingdom. And I think that's for us too. That helps us to determine the yes and the no, what we tolerate or what we don't, to allow that to be our deciding factor in our relationships. You know, and that priority helps us with decisions about what we allow ourselves to get into with other people. That priorities are important because they help us to respond to people. And that might change depending on the context and the season. You know, for example, maybe you're going to a family reunion this summer or going to the beach. You're going to see people you haven't in a while, and you know it. That crazy uncle's going to be there. And what is he going to do? He's going to talk politics, or he's going to talk about his stances on this show he watched, or I don't know what he's going to talk about, or what she's going to talk about, or what all those things are. And that your priority might be at that family reunion to say, you know what? My priority is not to like win a fight here. My priority is to be with my family. My priority right now is to be here. You know, that I'm not going to engage in that battle. You know, I like the saying, you don't have to show up to every circus you're invited to. You know, truthfully, you don't have to say, what is my priority in this time? Hey, in this workplace, is this the time to do it? And that might change at different times to have that truth and love conversation, but to say, you know what, right now, this is the time that I'm with my family. You know, sometimes your priority is rest. Is rest. You've been going nonstop. You're just like, oh my gosh, like I've been spinning my wheels. To allow that rest to guide your decisions and what you do or don't do. To guide the decisions about what you say yes or no to. You know, that your priority is a value that you hold. You know, that also do you make God's kingdom a priority? Make participating and holding the things of God, because it's very easy to let that go to the wayside too. To allow things like worship and being intentional about reading scripture or taking time in prayer or family devotions or all those different practices that other things very easily can get in the way of, but to say, no, that's a priority. I'm going to put things around that rather than move that to the side when it's inconvenient. That knowing priorities helps us to decide what we're willing or not willing to do. And it also helps us to deal with people, especially with difficult people, to determine what's most important. So I do want to share with you the end of the fable, by the way, because you might be asking, well, what happened, right? Is this guy just sitting there? Once again, I'm cautioning you, this is a fable. If you've read it before, you're like, yeah, I know this. The ending is kind of like, ooh, like, okay. So we said this. So the man is holding the rope, the top of the bridge. So the person is dangling down. Well, the man says this. He says, I want you to listen carefully because I mean what I'm about to say. I'll not accept the position of your choice for your life, only for my own. The position of choice for your own life, I'm going to give back to you. So the person dangling said, well, what do you mean, afraid? And the man on the top of the bridge said, I mean, simply it's up to you. You decide which way that this ends. I'm going to become the counterweight. You can pull and bring yourself up. I will lean, and then you can go, and I will help you do it the whole way. And so he began to lean and take the rope and to pull back. And the person hanging shrieked, you cannot mean what you say. You would not be so selfish. I'm your responsibility. Don't do this to me. And so the man on the bridge waited for a moment, and there was no change in the tension of the rope. There was no climbing person up the rope. And the man on the bridge said, well, I accept your choice, he said at last, and he freed his hands. Fortunately, the man was 2 feet from the ground. And could have stood the whole entire time. Irony, right? Like, okay, if this were a literal story, the ending would be problematic. You'd be like, what? He dropped him. Like, that's what I don't want you to take. Don't go out of here and say, Pastor Chris talked about a story of dropping a person off a bridge. That's not what this is about. This is a parable, but it's about being clear and direct and saying no and offering help, but having limits and not taking on extra ropes that you are not intended to carry. See, guardrails are those very things. They're not things that are telling us to restrict, but are things that help us to protect. As Jesus demonstrated, that things that are good for our relationships, and they keep them healthy and make longevity possible. And the better that we get at making them in the safety zone, the better we get at living them out in the danger zone. The better we get at having them, we will discover too that you can be in a relationship with all kinds of people. With all kinds of people, even someone who is very, very different than you. And I think that's better for everyone, even if we all don't agree. So what I want to end with is another question. We started off with a question, we're going to end with a question. Do you have a relationship that would benefit from guardrails? What guardrails do you need to preemptively construct to protect and direct and to keep you focused on the most important things, especially the things of Jesus? Let's pray.